God, in a world that is so temporal, so transient, there's very little that's past, present, and future. And so, God, this morning, to be reminded of how you were, you are, and you forever will be, is so comforting to us. Lord, we've looked in the weeks past about the instabilities that are in our life, and to be able to have stability that's rock solid, dependable. It strikes me today that everyone wants that. But the reality is that so often people have trouble finding it. And so there's this race and there's this wild actions to try to secure it, and groping almost. And so, Lord, I pray that those who are present today, we would recognize the source of our stability. You were, you are, forever will be. And so, God, I pray that that brings comfort and peace today. I pray, God, that that brings understanding to our confusions. Lord, as I consider where each of us is at today and the circumstances in which we live today, it was inconceivable just 3 or 4 months ago that there would be a pandemic that would alter our lives almost to a standstill. And then on top of that, how could we even imagine something that could press that off the center? And now, God, there is such a heightened level of social unrest in our nation. That we are experiencing dual pandemics. And today we've come and we've gathered in order to be stabilized by the rock. Would you do that for us today? That every single person that can hear my voice, Lord, that they would be stabilized in the rock today. It would fix what they think about other things. They would observe it. They would act upon it, but they would not be shaken, God. You were, you are, and forever you will be. And so, Lord, we take great comfort in that today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Well, welcome again. We're grateful that you're here. We're grateful that you are able to join us in this series that we've called Dawn. And just for those of you who aren't aware of where we've been, we have been walking through one long dark night. And I want you to know that today in this long dark night. It's 6:01, and we are seeing the dawn. The sun has come up, and we are seeing the dawn. That light is coming through. There's breakthrough. The darkness is dispersed. Morning hope has come, and this long dark night is coming to an end. And so if we don't, so we don't forget where we've come from, that I said that I basically based this entire series off of May 5th at our house. And so May 5th at our house was a very long, dark night. And I mentioned about how I had gone to sleep shortly after 11 o'clock. But by 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:25 specifically, I looked at the clock and I had this question, will this night ever end? And I began to think, isn't that how emotionally and mentally and spiritually we encounter some rough times in our life? That we come into our situation in our life and we wonder, will it ever end? Will it ever change? And we mentioned in our first week of this series that God whispers back to us, it surely will. There will be a dawn to this night. And we moved on in the second week and talked about when the clock said 2 something in the morning. And I gave you this illustration of how Susie and Brooke, though both sleepless, found comfort and rest by waiting together for the dawn. And so not only in the first week were we not forgetting the dawn, but we realized that God's presence is with us in the darkest points of our life, and he's waiting here with us for dawn. And then last week we saw the clock turn to 4:44, and we realized that even though it's still dark, even though we haven't seen the light of day yet, there are songs before dawn. The birds start singing before the sun comes up. And we realize that we can begin to celebrate the dawn even before we see it. And that's so exciting that there's an assurance that the dawn is coming, that we can begin to sing before it comes. And so now in the progression, we have arrived at 6:01 and we can see the dawn. And as we've been walking through the Psalms, each psalm has declared for us a different part of the journey of this long, dark night. And I want us to realize that Psalm 30 tells us that the dawn has come for David. And it's such a beautiful psalm. And I believe if we walk down through it, we can celebrate with David that the dawn has come and we can see the dawn. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm 30 and it'll be on the screen. But listen to these powerful words of David. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me up out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pits? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. And so in here, what I want us to grab a hold of at the very outset of this message is what we see in here, and it's so easily overlooked. David is talking in the past tense in this psalm. This is something that David has experienced. This is something David has already gone through, and he's looking back and thanking God for his faithfulness. And so what this tells me is that the sun has already come up for David. the long dark night is over, and he's looking back and he's thanking God for what he has already done. And so this is so important for those of us who are in long dark nights, those of us who believe that the night is never going to end. I would love seeing examples in the Word where we see people that have gone and come out the other side and are looking back and saying, God did it. God brought the sun. The sun has come up. The dawn has arrived. And I have come through this long dark night. Seven times in these first couple of verses, David says, you have done this. This is a past tense thing. You've already taken care of this. David has gone through it and he has come out the other side. He says, you lifted me up. You did not let my enemies gloat over me. You healed me. You brought me up. You spared me from going down into the pit. David has been rescued, past tense. David has been delivered. The day has come. The light has arrived. After this long, dark night, David is praising God because he sees the sun. The night is over. He's recounting the comeback. God has given him victory. God has given him safety, peace, and prosperity, both physically and spiritually. And so I want us to know today, even though you find yourself in the middle of the night, maybe emotionally or spiritually or mentally, it's 1:25 or it's 2-something, or you're beginning to kind of see some signs of the dawn and it's 4:44. I want you to know there's going to come a time in your situation where the dawn arrives. And so what's so beautiful about this psalm, and maybe it's the things that are so most familiar to us about this psalm, is there are these beautiful transitions that happen in the scriptures. And so you see first that David is talking about the anger of God versus the favor of God. And so there's this transition between the anger of God, night, and the favor of God that's at the dawn or in the morning. And so how does this happen? And what I realized by David's story, and you've got to follow me on this one because I think this makes sense, but it's a little bit deeper in understanding. What David is realizing is that though night was for a moment, dawn and favor was coming. And what he realizes is that though a moment is part of life, anger is part of love. And so that he realizes that it's not necessarily that night was somewhere it was devoid of God or that God wasn't present there. No, he realizes that though a moment is part of life, anger and separation was part of God's love. And we realize that any of us that are parents realize this, that there are times in our life where we have to inflict discipline, where we have to give punishment or demonstrate some negative emotion in order to fully demonstrate our love. If we simply just were kind and always encouraging, they wouldn't be the full extent of our love. We sometimes have to have a moment where there is some toughness and some discipline in order to fully and more robustly demonstrate our love. And so what we realize is that's exactly what's happening here. That David is realizing that the anger of God is actually just an aspect of God's great love for him. And what we realize is that both the night and the dawn are both instruments or messengers of his will. That God is working through the night just as he's working in the dawn. And another way to look at it is that the night is just a setup for the dawn. Did you know that God's setting you up? God's setting you up. He's allowing things to develop in your life. He's allowing us to go through difficult periods of time just in order for a dawn to come, in order to see the beauty of his presence in our life. And one of the things that we notice very clearly in this passage is that duration, that there are times where there is something that happens for a moment. There's something that's transient. There's something that's temporary in contrast to what is permanent and consistent. And he says that for a night, for a moment, this is occurring, but this is enduring. This is going to continue. There's going to come a point when this is going to be over. The moment, the night has a boundary. It's going to be a duration of a period of time, but there's going to come a point when it's over. And that's what I've been trying to say over this last month, that our nights, our difficult periods in our life, they have boundaries. It can only go so far. God has put a limit on the length of your nights. He's put a limit on the length of your sorrow. There's going to be a point that the dawn will come. And I pray that this idea of a limited duration brings you hope. I mean, sometimes whenever someone tries to encourage you, they say this phrase that you've heard before. They say, "This too shall pass." You didn't know they were being biblical. That's true. That's what David is saying. "This too shall pass." God has put a boundary on the night, and it's only a moment. And so this transition from anger to favor, this transition from weeping to joy, from night to morning, we see in David's life. One author I read this week kind of said there were two guests that come to our house. There's one who's dark at night with loud wailing, and then there's this bright at dawn with gladness. And we need to realize that there are transitions happening in our life, that the judgment, the weeping will relent, and the favor and joyful shouting will return. And when we talk about the joy coming in the morning, we're not talking about this boisterous, arrogant, ridiculously loud joyfulness. We're talking about a pure, deep, sincere, permanent feeling. This depth of joy. This transition in your life, I want you to know that it's coming from mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning, to morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G. That's who God is. That morning, night lasts for a moment. But what we realize is that in the morning, we experience fully who God desires us to be. That there is a time of what feels like spiritual desertion, night, where we're walking in darkness and we don't feel the communication of the grace. But in the morning, we see the grace. We see the love. And this isn't just David. The prophet Isaiah says this. "For a brief moment, I abandoned you. But with deep compassion, I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for how long? For a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you." So he's saying, listen, for a moment, for a purpose, it may feel like I've abandoned you. You may feel like you're walking through a night, and this is only temporary. But what's everlasting is my compassion. What's everlasting is my love. John 16 tells us this: "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief." A time. Duration, a period, a night. "But I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Do you see how when we're going through a period, we're going through a night, we can feel like it'll never end. But the promise is that night has a boundary, and that we will enter into a time of everlasting joy. I want you to know, church, that the dawn has come. The favor has arrived. The favor endures. Life returns. And so we don't understand fully how this all works, but there's some mingling of both weeping and joy that God uses for a greater purpose in our life. How does he do that? I'm not sure. But what we know is that God is working out his great purpose in our life towards a great end, an eternal good. And so if we understand that the night is limited and we know that the dawn is coming, we need to ask ourselves, what really is it that arrives? When the dawn comes, what is it that we receive? What is it that shows up? What is it that returns? What arrives? What is dawn? What is God's favor? As we read in the scriptures, I don't believe that the dawn is some passionate gratification, that all of our passions that we had in the middle of the night get satisfied in the morning. I don't think that's what it is. I don't think it's a material possession. I don't think it's mental accomplishment or personal advancement or social position or even creature comforts. That when we walk into the morning, we come out of the night, we get all this stuff. No, what I think it is, what I believe the morning light is, I believe it's God's presence. I believe it's when we come into the light, we actually turn our face towards the face of God. And we sense his presence. And when we truly sense his presence, it changes us. I'm not sure if this story is true or not, but I think it illustrates the point. There was a husband who had just lost his wife. And he was a widow, and now he was parenting his kids by himself. And one dark night, soon after the funeral, there a young boy was unable to sleep, and he somehow navigated and migrated his way into his daddy's bed. And it's still dark in the room, and the father's trying to comfort his son, and he said, "Son, are you okay? Are you going to be able to fall asleep?" And the little boy asked his dad in the pitch black and not being able to see, he said, "Daddy, is your face turned towards me?" And the dad responded, "Yes, son, my face is turned towards you." And he said, "If your face is turned towards me, then I might be able to rest." Isn't that what it is? When we know that the face of God is turned towards us, when God sees us and we sense his presence, we know that his favor is pointing towards us. We then are able to rest. I want you to know that God the Father's face is turned towards you. He loves you. He desires to see you and to know you. Now, one of the things that's pretty interesting about this passage and some of the people that I read, actually one of the seminary professor that I had, he wrote a book about a psalm, and he commented on this psalm, and he said that in some ways this psalm is kind of disjointed because it's kind of disconnected, and the parts of the psalm are, he said, that they would actually read better if they were kind of rearranged, because what we see here is that in the middle of the psalm, it almost appears like David is kind of going backwards and having kind of a memory of pre-dawn and how he got into this night. And he tries to look at this, and this may make a little more sense to you. So in the middle of this psalm, we've had all these wonderful things he's talking about. Verse 5 and talking about how there's all these beautiful transitions from night to dawn, from weeping to joy. But in verse 6, it almost seems like he's kind of backtracked. Look at these words. "When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed." And so I spent a lot of time this week trying to understand what's David doing there. I mean, we just come off these beautiful verses in verses 5, 4 and 5 and all these wonderful things. And then we run straight into this verses 6 and 7. And what does it mean? And I believe it's David recounting the problem that he discovered in the night. And so what he discovered was that he had an illusion of prosperity without humility, and it led to adversity. Look, he says there, when I was secure, when I felt secure, when I felt secure, when I thought I had everything under control, when I wanted to do it my way, I felt like I would never be shaken. Doesn't that sound like arrogant, myopic thinking? Independent spirit, arrogant talk, an invincible feeling, depending more on his assets and his abilities. Listen, I felt secure, so I believed I was never going to be shaken. He goes on further. He says, Lord, when I sensed that you favored me, it made my mountain stand firm. So there's nothing that I feel invincible. There's nothing that can harm me. And church, if we can kind of go back for a second to our little night analogy, everybody thinks that everything's wonderful and they're in the light, and then something happens. Everything's great, and then the heart attack. Everything's wonderful, and then the diagnosis. Everything's wonderful, and then that kid starts rebelling. And then see how quickly, verse 7, how quickly it changed. I was confident. My mountain was firm. And then verse 7, but when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, God has abandoned you because something bad happened. And that's the bookend of the other part of the night, right? So everything's wonderful during the day, and then all of a sudden something happens, and then it's nighttime, and now we're wondering where God's at. I'm dismayed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm shattered. My life is going to pieces. And what we realize is that David believes that God has withdrawn from him, but his security was in the wrong places. His presumption was that everything would always be comfortable and okay. And we see there that I will never be shaken. I felt secure. My mountain stood firm. And then all of a sudden, he's dismayed. And what we realize on the other side of the night, so David is kind of on the other side looking back now, and he just took a little kind of journey backwards, where he realizes in the middle of the night that it wasn't about I will or I will not. It was about you have. That God had done something. It wasn't about what he was going to do or what he was not going to do. That's what actually caused him to go into the night. It was his behavior in some ways that caused the long dark night. His efforts were bringing despair, but God's grace prevented his demise. And I'm not saying in any way that everyone's long dark night has been self-inflicted. But for David, he realizes that he had a false sense of security, and that as soon as his created stuff, his creature comforts, his emotional state, as soon as that got altered, he's looking for God. Somehow God had abandoned him. But then as he goes through the night, he cries out to God in verses 8 and 9 and 10. And what we realize is that David, through the night, is submitting his will to God's will. And so no longer is the language about my mountain or I will not be shaken. We see the language change to you, God, defeated my enemy. You lifted me up. You have not let my enemies rejoice over me. You have given me victory. You have answered my prayers. You have healed me. You have brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive. Do you see the beauty of what he discovered in the middle of the night? He took for granted the day, and it caused a night. And then in that night, Look at verse 8. To you, O Lord, I called to the Lord. I cried for mercy. Do you see the changes there? And just two verses ago, he was saying, I'll never be shaken. Nothing's ever going to go wrong. Now he's dismayed and he's crying out to God. And in God fashion, God always responds to his children when they cry out to him. Even when they've been disobedient. I mean, come on, we only need to look at the Israelites. How many times did they make a mistake and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But then they call back to God, and God comes. He allows some dark, long, dark nights, right? But he comes and he responds. So that church, even though we may be spiraling like we talked about last week, waiting on God, not seeing him, believing he's deliberately abandoning us or isolated us or caused us to be desperate or defeated, God answers his people, and he answered David. Look at verse 11. It says, you, God, turned. You turned. I wasn't able to turn my wailing into dancing. I wasn't able to control my situation enough to manufacture or manipulate it to go the other way. No, you turned my wailing, my desperation, my isolation into celebration. You turned. God turns. God changes us. He changes our mourning into mourning. God turns. He turns us. And our situations begin to turn. And if you look deeper into that verse 11, you see that he takes his sackcloth and his ashes and his mourning garb, and he gives them beautiful new garments of gladness and goodness. Church, isn't this what Jesus has done for us? Through the cross, through his death, life, death, and resurrection, he took the worst of who we are, our dirty rags. And he says, I, through the blood, am going to give you new garments. A new garment of forgiveness. A new garment of fullness of life. A new garment of freedom. Those are not able to be manufactured by ourselves. It's through Jesus Christ that we are given these new garments, as David recounts. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. That's what Jesus does for us. All right, let's bring this in for a landing. One of the things that I love about this passage is because it doesn't end until we get David's personal response. So we realize that he has taken us through this journey. He recognizes that he's in the middle of the night. He recognizes that God has brought him out, delivered him, rescued him. He recognizes that he no longer did it, but God did it for him. But then we realize that David had a personal response to all of this. And I believe, if I could just add, that each and every one of us have to have a personal response to God's faithfulness in our life. And so we see David's personal response in verse 12. That my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Listen, I'm not going to be silent anymore. I'm going to recognize and I'm going to shout what God has done for me. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. I'll give you thanks forever. Church, is that our response today? Is that our response? Have you seen the dawn? The dawn is when your Savior and your Lord steps in and alters the situation and brings victory into your life. And church, I want you to know that dawn is able to arrive in your life. But it's not going to be by you saying, I will not, I should not. It's going to be, he has. He has. God, you have. I recognize your presence. I recognize your activity in my life. I recognize that you have done it for me. I've recognized the nights that you've pulled me out. I recognize the days that you've given me. And friends, I end with this illustration. So I don't have a pool at my house, but one of the things that I know about swimming pools is that the water is cold. The one way you change the water from cold to warm is that you put a solar cover on. And what that solar cover does, there's nothing magical about the solar cover in and itself. It doesn't have any heating unit in it. What it does is what? It receives and collects the sun. And it holds that heat. And by holding and maintaining that heat, it warms the water. And so that during the day, the solar cover collects the sun. It holds the sun's heat. It warms the water. But guess what happens in the night? That solar cover maintains the temperature. It doesn't allow the temperature to go back down. It holds that temperature. It keeps the water warm. So that in the morning, when you take the solar cover off, the temperature hasn't gone down. See, too often in our lives, when we go through a dark night, what happens to our spiritual temperature? Where's God? What happened? Why? I'm cold. I'm freezing. The water temperature goes down. But listen, when we can praise the Lord, when we're in the light, when we're in the day, when we're recognizing the favor of God, if we can just remember that and hold that and receive that favor. Because we know that night is coming. We know that life is not always going to be good. The question is what did we do when we were in the light, when we were in the day? Did we collect that heat? Did we remember that God is faithful? Did we remember that God is good? Because when the temperature goes down outside, the external temperature, when things start happening that we can't control, do we go down with the temperature? Do we go down with the night? Or do we maintain what God has done in our life? Do we maintain that temperature? Oh no, I know it's dipping down close to freezing tonight. I know we got to cover the fruit bushes, right? Oh, but we don't have to cover me because I have been in the light. I know that God has been faithful. I know that even though my external circumstances are telling me that things are getting colder, I will not get colder. Because God has been good to me. God has gotten me through many a nights. So the next time I experience a night, no, we're not going down there. I know that God is good. I know that He has taken my weeping and given me joy. I know that He has turned my nights into mornings. I know that my God is good. Friends, I want you to know today, here online and here in person, that the one thing I can't stand about preachers and about churches is that they're always preaching sermons about hope. And they never tell you that you get there. They never tell you about the stories of how you arrived. You never talk about the victories. You never, no, it's all, hey, listen, keep pressing on. Keep persevering. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. But we need to celebrate. I can't believe I'm saying that because I'm the worst at celebrating. But we need to recognize that God has been faithful. There's a difference between God will be faithful and God has been faithful. How many can say God has been faithful in your life? Amen? He has been faithful. We're not waiting on Him to be faithful. We're not waiting on the next dawn, which we are. But we don't have to wait for it in order to have the joy, to have the peace, to know that God is faithful. Amen? And so, yes, the dawn is coming. Yes, we can realize that this night has a boundary. But we also know that no matter what time it is and what temperature it is around us, God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're good. We declare your word. We declare the truth. We realize today, God, that your word is teaching us that it's not always about the next faithfulness. We need to recognize that you have been faithful. And so, Lord, as we wait in these long, dark nights, as we wait upon you for the next encounter, we wait upon the sun to come up, Lord, let us realize that you are faithful. Let us realize that you have done it before in our life. Let us realize that we have experienced the very things that we so desperately desire. Lord, help us realize today that through Jesus Christ, all that we desire, all that we desire has already been done for us. We desire forgiveness. We desire to no longer be in the depths of our sorrow. Well, Jesus died on the cross to give us forgiveness. We're no longer in that depth. We don't have to go down in that pit. We no longer have to be enslaved by the addiction or enslaved by the history or the genealogy or the generations before us. Lord, we know that through your cross and through your death and through your blood that we have freedom. We don't have to live in a place of inadequacy. We don't have to live in a place of depleted. We can know that we are full in you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for him being our Lord and our Savior today. We love you today, Lord. We love you today. We commit our lives to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, friends, thank you for digging into the Word with me today. We actually have one more week of this series. Next week, there is one more thought that I have about the dawn. So I think so often, sometimes when we get through something difficult, we have this propensity to just kind of sit in it and say, whew, we got through it. But I think sometimes God would want us to do something with the dawn. So there's seeing the dawn, but I think there's something about experiencing it too, that we actually act on that which we've come through. And so that's the message next week. And so I hope you'll join us for the conclusion of this series. Those of you online, thank you for being here. Those of us in person, thanks for being here. And I pray you have a great week. Amen.